Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom, you know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Let me tell you why I wasn't right. Because okay. You were new at dating. You said he was texting you every 2 weeks. So for a lot of people, that wouldn't feel right. I'd be like, where'd you go? You want to talk more often. So there probably were signs there. Like when you were with them, it was probably great. But then, you know, maybe you got busy in your life. But I would say there were probably signs that it wasn't perfect in the sense of like, there were signs that he was seeing other people or that was going to drop off. You know what I'm saying? So let that experience go from a year ago. We tend to hang on to our last experience that was the most intense. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. It's one of the most common questions I get. How do I initiate sex the right way? Listen, there's no right way to initiate sex, but I'll be honest, it might take a little warm-up period to get everyone ready and on the same page, and that's because sex is just as much a head game as a body one. So, in this episode, we're helping you calm your nerves before initiation, recover from failed initiations, because that happens, and walk into each sexual encounter with more confidence. At the end of the day, we all crave intimacy, right? And we all want to please our partners. So by the end of this episode, I think you'll feel much more clear on how to arouse your partner. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the episode. I do it and it'll help you ground in the episode and figure out what you want to learn from it. Well, my intention is to help you cut yourself some slack when it comes to sexual initiations. Because listen, they can be nerve-wracking, but once you feel more secure about how to invite someone into an erotic vibe, it's going to be much easier to create pleasure together. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. My new article, 6 Ways to Upgrade Your 69, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel, my social media, and TikTok at Sex with Emily for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me more questions, leave me your questions or message me at sexwithemily.com/askemily. Or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX, or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And totally cool to change your name if you want to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. So in today's episode, we're talking about sex initiations, which I get can be really intimidating, especially if you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to initiate sex because you're used to someone always initiating sex with you, or maybe you tried it before and got rejected. I get it. All around, it can be confusing because it's also really vulnerable. That's why I'm taking your emails and calls today on the matter. But before we get started, I thought I'd offer 3 quick tips about sexual initiation. The idea here is that we're warming things up and getting both people in an erotic headspace. And even if you're already there yourself, there still is some warming up that needs to happen. So next time you want to initiate sex with a partner, instead of going right in for the kill, try warming up with these tips. Number 1, you want to build some sexual tension with words. So this is flirting, teasing, and giving a really sincere compliment. Just kind of looking at them and saying, you know, I gotta say, you look so hot today. I love that dress you're wearing. Or that shirt really shows off your eyes. I love the way your eyes sparkle. So specific and sincere. And listen, even if words aren't your love language, I believe that compliments are everyone's love language. Even if it's hard to take compliments, who doesn't love to hear a sincere compliment? It'll help get you in the mood, help you feel more connected to your partner. Next thing, kiss and do it creatively. Yes, you can lean in and kiss them right on the lips, or you can look into their eyes and ask, "Can I kiss you?" And then lean in to kiss them on the neck, which is just, I don't know, I love a neck kiss. It's just unexpected, a little bit more lusty, and just something a little bit different. So get creative with your kissing. Kiss the bottom lip instead of the upper lip. Kiss the forehead. Kiss the cheek. You know, or just start with the neck. Because again, neck kissing is hot. Next, use some suggestive touch. So instead of immediately reaching your hand down their pants, you know, try rubbing their inner thighs, rubbing above their clothes, playing with their shirt collar. I mean, you're initiating the sex. You know, you're not having sex. You're building up the sex. So everything I'm talking about here is part of the foreplay. So think about those tips when you're thinking about jumping into sex. You don't want to be the partner that's just like tapping on the knee and saying, "Hey, let's do it." You know, that is not going to get most partners going and ready for action. So think about those tips and let's get into your questions.
Hey, Dr. Emily, my question for you, other than having sex conversations with my significant other, what are some ways to help me and my significant other be more intimate with each other? We both have busy jobs and recently it's affected how we have sex with each other because I want her to express and see how sexy I know she is. Is this just communication between us? Is there something I can do to help her? So I believe what you're saying here, Scott, is how do I get her to be more into sex and how to initiate sex is what I think you meant here. First off, you said that you're having sex conversations with her. What you're really craving is intimacy. So I just want to say that I love that you know that about yourself because I think ultimately, if you look at it, that's what a lot of us crave. I mean, sure, we want to have sex. We want to have the orgasms I spoke about and have the feel-good hormones. And what you might need to do, and this goes for everybody, is that we have to be really specific when we make a request to our partner about something that we want, especially when it comes to intimacy and your sex life. Maybe you want her to initiate more. Here's the thing about initiating. There is one partner that always initiates more than the other. But just telling your partner, for example, "You never initiate. Why don't you initiate sex? I really wish you would initiate more," rarely does that work. And what happens is that one partner becomes resentful because they're waiting. Like, I told you to initiate. And the other partner heard it and then thought, I don't know when, or in their head, they're probably thinking, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But remember that initiating sex is actually a skill and a habit. And if you don't have either one of those or experience with it, it's not going to naturally occur to you. You might already have a built-in mechanism that's like, well, this isn't a good time to initiate, or, oh, I'll do it after dinner, or I'll do it on Saturday. And since it's something new, it's your edge, it might not happen. So I believe that in a relationship where you're talking about sex and you have a good relationship in all these other areas, that your partner really does want to please you. And if they said yes, they'll do it, they likely want to. But remember that you might need to paint a picture for them about what that looks like. So for example, Scott, if you want her to initiate more, you might just need to say to her, you know what? I'd really love if you brought sex to the table. And here's what it looks like. This is where we have to give an example. So Scott, you might feel like, you know what? I can't believe she doesn't know that. And does it mean she's never turned on? But listen, it's well documented that women have more of a responsive arousal, meaning we respond to stimuli. Seeing something, maybe our partner starts to touch us or cuddle us, and then we get in the mood. But for men, it's more spontaneous, right? So you see your wife and you get an erection. Like, it's literally a spontaneous, external, you are turned on. But since it's different for women, especially in your relationship, it might take a little bit more explanation. So you could say to her, I would love it if you initiated. So the next time, give an example, after dinner, I'd love you to come over and start kissing my neck, the back of my neck, and put your arms around me and do that thing that you do. It could just be one thing like that that will signal to her, oh, this is going to signal to you that I'm trying to initiate sex. And then you got to go roll with it. It might not be perfect. It might be clunky. But what isn't when we're learning a new skill, right? We're never just like excellent at it out of the gate. And taking it from somebody who I had to learn it, because I was always having partners initiate, I was like, this is something that I do not do. And it wasn't because I didn't want sex. I just knew it was going to happen. And if it didn't happen, sometimes after I'm with someone for, I'm like, okay. We just watched TV or we did our thing. But I had to have a partner say to me, you never initiate. I was like, God damn it. Am I that person? I also am not initiating in a relationship, and this is my job to tell everybody else to do it. And so I had to hear it. You know, first I'm like, I do. And I thought, oh God, I really haven't lately. And so I really thought about it. And even for me, it is my expertise. I had to think about it before I went to his house. Like, okay, so I'm going to wear this thing. And it was really great for me personally, because tell me if this is familiar. I had all these things that I had bought that made me feel sexy. I had like this really beautiful, like black bodysuit that had lace on it. And I had this satin, like I splurged on it to wear sometime. And I never was in the mood, or I'd forget. And I was like, okay, I'm going to wear this bodysuit. I'm going to bring over, well, I always did this, but like my favorite sex toy or something, whatever it was, whatever I had to try for work that week. And I went there with the intention that I'm going to initiate this. I'm going to make it happen. And so that's how I started doing it. I really just like walked in the door and I just didn't get distracted, because that's another thing I would do. I'd be like, oh, I'm hungry, or we want to catch up about our day, or let's do something else. I even remember feeling like, okay, this is going to be a little bit new for me in this new relationship. And it felt really empowering. And it was just and then I liked doing it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this more. And so we all know how. It's not that we don't know how. It's that it's vulnerable. Perhaps we're afraid of feeling rejected. You know, I remember this woman I met at a conference, and she came up to me and she said, you know what? She'd been married for 20 years. And she said, I never initiate. And I didn't realize why. And I was teaching in a workshop, and she said, it was something that you said. So she'd been listening to the podcast and came to a workshop, and she said, I realized that 20 years ago, my husband and I were newlyweds. She said, I went upstairs and I came down in this like beautiful underwear, like panties and a bra and like garters, which if you've ever worn those, like you don't just whip them on. There's like an awkward clip in the back and in the front, and then there's like a seam, and you have to make sure that they don't look awkward, because you can't be sexy if the seam is twisted. And they're never even. I mean, we don't just like throw it on and feel sexy. It takes effort. So she's like, I did the whole thing and I put on my lingerie and I put on my best body oil and I walked down the stairs and he was sitting in the study. He was working and he looked at me and I came down. She's like, I've never, ever put myself out there. And he just looked at her and went back to his work. Like he didn't, he said, I'm still going to finish up here. She felt he completely ignored her. And she felt so broken from that moment and so vulnerable and so rejected, even though it was her husband, that she said, for all these years, I never tried again. I never initiated again. I mean, this is the thing about our habits and our behaviors. It just takes one thing. Like sometimes it's one rejection. It's somebody criticizing our body, someone telling us we're not a good kisser or we're not good in bed, anything, or criticizing our body. And it just can hurt us so badly in the moment that we completely shut down. We integrate that into our body. So that becomes part of our, like, in a way, it's like a trauma response. I mean, for her, I would say that that was like a trauma. And she said that she was finally able to, can't remember if she released it listening to the podcast or she came to tell me about it, but she said like she was able to now, you know, bring it up. And she felt like he didn't remember that moment. Because of course he wouldn't. I mean, he felt so bad. He was like, if I had known or I remembered, he probably had a deadline for work. He was stressed out. You know how it is. I've been there. I don't see what's happening when I'm at the computer and I'm caught up. What this points out is a lot of things, not only about initiating sex, but that there could be something that happens in a moment, in a flash. And we feel vulnerable. We feel rejected, compromised. And we do what we always did, right? Maybe we were criticized as a child, criticized in high school. Something happened and we either shut down, we retreat, we get anxious about it. And so if we don't feel safe dealing with conflict and bringing it up to our partner, there's like a very fine line. There's like a moment there where you're like, I'm just going to take this. It's very familiar. I'm being ignored. I'm not being seen. And if I had her here, I would say to her that that's probably a familiar scenario. You know, maybe her dad came home from work and she felt very unseen, or maybe she was always looked over for, you know, something in school. And as a result, that something can happen that mimics that very early experience and we just do the same thing. And so the trick in a relationship, in any kind of relationship, I mean, this could happen at work with a friend, is that you, in that moment, where you realize that something's happening and this is like a somatic experience, you can learn to kind of feel these things in your body sometimes, like this is my anxiety feeling, this is my breath quickening. You can stop and say, oh, it's that thing. I'm feeling uncomfortable. What is it? Oh, it's the way I just felt unseen. And then you could turn to your partner and say, you know, maybe it's not even in that moment. It could be the next day, but not 20 years later. You say, when you guys are in a, you know, my rules for communicating about things that are challenging are the same across the board. Timing, turf, and tone. You want to make sure that it's the right time, you're in the right place, and you are doing it with the right tone. And the right tone always, 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 always leading with curiosity and calm and just sort of, hey, let's have a conversation about something, you know? I just want to talk to you for a minute. Maybe you're going for a walk or you've just finished a good meal. You can say, you know, last night I came down the stairs and I was really excited because I had put on this thing that made me feel really sexy. And I noticed you were at your computer and you looked at me and the way you just turned back around, it made me feel really unseen or like you didn't find me sexy anymore. And imagine if she had said that to him, you know, and no one can argue with your feelings. So first off, what I'm saying is you don't want to say, you never look at me and you ignore me, but just, when this happened, it made me feel blank. That is just communication 101. In the moment there, you know, he could say, well, I don't remember that or I didn't see it. I mean, sure, I'm not saying they're all going to go, it's going to be an easy conversation, but what could happen after that, you know, he might have said, oh, wow, I didn't even see you, which could feel bad, but that's just at least of your answer. He didn't think you didn't look sexy. He didn't think you looked ridiculous because that was part of it. She's like, maybe I looked ridiculous or I gained weight or he wasn't attracted to me anymore, right? We go to there. We think, I'm being rejected for sex. My partner just rejected my advances. And so therefore, I am not lovable. I'm not attractive. But he would have said, oh, babe, no, I would please. Like, maybe he would have said, I'm so sorry. Show me right now. I had that deadline. And that's how you repair. Like, that's when we talk about repair in a relationship. And I believe that relationships are not actually about perfection and about getting along all the time. In fact, if you're in a relationship, you're like, we never fight. There's a problem. If you never have conflict, they're not about perfection. They're about repair. They're not about everything being great. They're about how do we repair when we get into a fight or an argument? How do we communicate? Like, how do we resolve conflict? If you don't have those skills right now, you don't know how to repair an argument or talk about your feelings. That's where your focus should be. And once you learn, it's a skill, right? It's like, it transfers to every other area of your life. It transfers to sex conversations, your work conversations, everywhere. So Scott, there's your answer. Let's talk to Kyle, 21, in Tennessee. Kyle, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm great, Kyle. Good to hear from you. What's going on?
So I've been seeing this girl for a few weeks now, and I really think she could be the one. And we haven't had the chance to have sex yet, and I feel like every time we get there, I get real nervous, and I feel like if I don't please her, she may not want to stay with me, and I just need to figure out like how I can calm these nerves and just be myself with her.
Okay. Wait, what has happened so far? Or nothing? You haven't seen her yet?
Well, we've gone on a few dates. When we go back to the house, we start to get serious, and every single time, like, I get too nervous. I feel like I'm not going to be able to perform to her standard because she's really pretty, and it's like I can't live up to those expectations.
And then what happens?
I kind of pull out, and I don't keep going and keep playing with her.
You just got to go in with the notion, like, I'm going to make her feel good. I'm going to please her and see what she wants.
Should I go down on her for a while to start? Just to kind of maybe calm the nerves and...
Absolutely, Kyle. This is what
I
always recommend.
Like, so I'm not going to please her.
Yeah, exactly, Kyle. Listen, whenever you're in your head, that's exactly what's happening. But I promise you, there is nothing like getting your confidence. Because we're talking about confidence. And Kyle, just know that no one at 21, the guys who think they're confident at 21, I'm telling you, if I could go back to my 20s, they didn't, it's like a false confidence. Like, yeah, women like when I pound away at them and that feels good. I'm telling you. So you just haven't had enough years on the planet yet of having sex that you would feel confident. So just know you're where most many people are at your age. So you're not like behind the eight ball. There's no problem here. It's just like it's a new thing and she's a new partner for you. So you're always going to lead with giving, especially when it comes to sex. So if you go in, you're like, I just want to look at you. I want to undress you. I want to go down on you. I want to finger you. I mean, ask her what turns her on. And then once you are pleasing her, that's how you get your confidence up. You're like, oh, I got this. You know, she's feeling good right now. And then you'll be more focused on her pleasure. And then you won't have been in your head the last 15 minutes getting undressed and then worrying the same thing's going to happen again. So absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, we know that you get nervous, especially like in our 20s. Like, this guys are nervous. Women are nervous too, but they don't have to perform like men do. They just feel like show up, have an erection. If it happens and you start to get nervous again, just say, you know, I want to take a few deep breaths here. Like, I think you're so hot. I mean, telling you to keep telling her how hot she is and how attracted you are and you just want to please her, take a beat, it's okay. But I would ask what feels good
to
her.
So next time I get in my head, I'm just going to go through and look at her and just do everything I can. I'm going to go down on her and just pleasure her until, like, I get the confidence to get in there.
Yes. Exactly, Kyle. That's what you're going to do. That will work, I'm telling you. And it's also a beautiful resolution here for the whole thing because I'm telling you, typically women, you know, take longer to get aroused than men. So that's why, you know, one of the best books about sex, which you could order it right now, it's called She Comes First. And it's a great book written by Dr. Ian Kerner, you know, renowned sex therapist like 20 years ago. And essentially, it's not just because women first, women are better. It's like literally the way we are built. Right? Our genitalia are such that there's an orgasm gap. It can take women 20 to 40 minutes to have an orgasm, get aroused. But for men, you know, Kyle, you know, you get turned on and you're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. I get aroused faster than anyone I know. It's insane.
Kyle. Yeah.
That's so true.
That's what happens. That's what's up. So this is just totally normal, typical, and you're exactly where you need to be at 21 years old. And in fact, men don't know
awesome.
It's at 40.
Thank you so much, Emily. Thanks helpful. For having me on.
Of course, Kyle.
With Emily.
Yeah, Kyle, thanks. Call back. Let me know how it goes. I'm here for you every night. Let me know, okay? This is what I love is that now I want to hear Kyle, right? I'm invested in Kyle now. Look, we just sent him off into the world to be a great young lover.
After the break, I'll be answering your questions. Okay, this is Bethany, 29, from Nashville, and she wants sex, but not casual sex. Hey, Bethany, tell me what's going on. Thanks for calling.
Hey. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Well, when I wrote you, I was like talking about a situation that happened maybe like a year ago, but I haven't had any like new situations since then. So it's kind of like, I guess I don't date that much and I don't really know why. And it's rare that I have relationships. Like I've had like one relationship in my whole life and I'm 29.
Okay.
I'm realizing now, looking back, that I'm like, I just like was totally clueless about how like the dating world, quote unquote, works. Like
right.
Now I'm like watching these like YouTube channels of like these people like Elliot Scott. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's like giving tips to like women like about dating and like how the mind of a man works, which sounds so like tried or something, but
right.
It's really helping me and like enlightening me right now. I'm like, damn, I wish I saw this like a year ago. But
give me an example of what made you go, damn, I didn't know that. Like, what are you learning? Tell me what you.
Right. So, I mean, there's this guy that I was talking to. He was like messaging me on Instagram, but acting like super, super interested. And I knew who he was. And like, it was like, we like liked each other's art and music and stuff. So it was like, we had like a resonance and it was like, oh, cool. We were like talking about it. And he was like, we should hang out. Like, I really want to hang out with you. And then we did hang out and it was like really good. And like, I thought that he was someone that was like worthwhile to like put time into. I don't know. I guess I just like liked him. And then he seemed to be really into me too. And was like super excited for like 3 weeks or something. And then kind of just like stopped.
Right.
Texting me as often. And then I started realizing like, you know, like months into it, I'm like, oh, I really like him, but I guess he's only texting me like once every 2 weeks.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, you know, and I was so like monkey mind about it. And then now this is like a year ago or something. And now I'm finding all these YouTube channels that are like, hey girls, this is what guys do. Like they act really into you because they have to hook you in. And then they might be like trying to keep you using the bare minimum amount of effort, or like if you don't lay down the law or show them what your boundaries or standards are initially, then they're not going to like
respect you or something.
Treat you. Yeah, kind of. I just like didn't know that there was all that was like a known
thing. I would
thing.
Stop watching all the channels. This is what I want for you. Not that that's not helpful. And I get it. Like I wouldn't say stop. I'm saying that there is useful information for sure. If you haven't dated, like listen to things, figure things out. But for you, you just
right.
haven't had a lot of experience dating. So I don't
yeah.
believe in all of these rules. Like what I believe is that you, Bethany, it is figure out like who you, what you're looking for right now. And I think that the thing about dating is like what I would tell you is that you don't really know what's going on with the other person. Like I would say that it's all about
true
like
that.
People
that's
date
true.
For a few weeks. So they, you know, they might be seeing a lot of people. Like he might not be looking for whoever it is. He like the grand he right. He's like dating a bunch of people, or maybe he got back together with his ex, or maybe he just wanted sex, or he has no time for a relationship. There's a million reasons why relationships don't work out. But women and men, we do this. We blame ourselves. So what did I do wrong? I shouldn't have invited him back to my house after the second date. That's why. Or why did I wear this skirt? You know, I should have worn pants.
Right.
You know, who knows? Like we think
right.
of a million things he didn't like that, you know, he didn't like the dinner I made him. Like we come up with all these things and it's never what we worry about. It's never those things that we obsess about. So I think the most important thing is building your confidence around men and really just being comfortable, like making friends with guys and dating and just being like and understanding what you want right now. And I think it is true that everybody on date, like there is something fun when you're dating someone to kind of like, we don't know where it's going to go. But I think it's important to honestly know, like if you're just casually dating right now, you can let people know like, I'm just dating, or I'm looking for, you know, to hang out with people, or maybe you want a boyfriend. So if you do, like maybe you just date a few people at once and you let people know that, like I am looking for something serious, but not right away, or I want to get to know you more. Like I do think that people appreciate more information. And I think that even if you don't know, you can let him know that you're exploring it. Because I think rather than just kind of pretending that it's nothing and we're all being casual and what's going to happen, that's when we end up getting hurt and making up all these meanings to things that have no meaning. So I think you just got to get back out there. Like you said, you don't really know how to date. And I think like, this is the thing. You said you don't get asked out or you don't meet people. There's a lot of single people. Like you're in Nashville. Like there are single people everywhere. There's more single people now in America than ever. So I think the thing about where we don't meet people is because we don't put ourselves out there. Like you take the same route home from work every day. You go to the same bar with your friends. Or you hang out with your same three friends. So how you start meeting people is saying yes to those invites. Like maybe once a week, you say yes to that barbecue that you don't really like. Someone invites you on Facebook. You know those invites, and you're like, you never look at them. But you're like, oh, I kind of like her. Maybe she'll have cool friends. Or you let people know that you know and trust family and friends that you're single. Like if you know anyone, like fix me up. So you start putting that energy out there, and you just start practicing talking to guys. And people that you're maybe not even attracted to, but you just have that rapport, so it's not so scary for you when you go out. You're like, how do I talk to a guy? And then it just becomes second nature. So I would say it's more about you and having confidence in yourself and your work and having a healthy life, having a rich, healthy, full life, I think, and being comfortable in yourself is the way that you start to meet people, because then you're coming from a good, solid place, and then you'll be attracting people who are like-minded. Rather than being like, it's a date, what does it mean? You know what I'm saying? This way, it's sort of part of what you're doing right now. You're working, you're seeing your friends, you're working out, you know, you're doing all these other things, and that's a part of it. It's not become your singular focus. Because then dating happens as part of a lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think, do you have any other like questions around that? Because I feel like I'm trying to get your question, because you said you're not that comfortable like dating. And I think that casual sex and stuff, like, I think you just kind of, casual sex isn't for everybody, you know, like casual sex, it's not like the rules to like society says you have to have it. Like some people are just like, I don't like it. Right. They're like, no, I can't handle not knowing if someone's going to call or not being intimate with someone and knowing that they were part of a relationship or that I can trust them. And for a lot of women, the best sex they have is when they're with someone they trust. And they know they're going to see him or you're comfortable. But when we're not comfortable or it's new, we feel pressured, that's not when we have the best sex. So you might be someone who right now needs to know somebody. Like you want to feel like you've gone out, you've had some experiences, and then you feel safe. And then you might even have casual sex and be like, it's still not for me. Or you might learn. Like I've gone through ebbs and flows in my life where I'm into casual sex and then I'm not. And then it's not in a relationship. But, you know, it just ebbs and flows. So right now I'd say maybe you don't even really know what works for you. So I would practice dating or saying yes to people that you wouldn't, they call it duty dating, but like saying yes to people that you wouldn't normally say yes to, finding who your type is, finding what you like doing with a guy. So kind of start from that place rather than making it about sex.
Damn. Yeah.
Damn. Right.
Like
just put your, do you have like, a lot? Like, do you go out a lot? Do you do things that you know, what do you like doing? What's fun for Bethany?
I just moved here. To this new city.
Okay.
I'm just like working a lot. And then my coworker invited me to a show she's performing at tonight.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I don't know if I'm going to go. And then when you're saying that, I was like, damn, you know, maybe
see?
I should.
I'm telling you, I'm telling you, you should go. Because whenever I've not wanted to go to something just because I'm tired at home from work and I make myself go, like I've been in periods of life where and like they come and go where I'm like, no, I got to be more social. So if you said you were going to go, just go. And I feel like 99% of the time I do not regret going out. Like
for
I'm
sure.
just like, I'm glad I went. You might meet some really cool friends. Yeah. You just moved to a new city. So it's kind of exciting. Like you're probably looking for female friends, male friends, everything. So these are the experiences where you meet people. Yes, you can use the apps and all that. But I think actually being comfortable in the new town and it's exciting. Like it's exciting to move to a city in your 20s where you don't know anybody. Like I did that and it was like the most time. Like I look back on that. And I'm like, how you get to reinvent yourself. You get to like, you know, where you're at in your life right now. So I would think about, I would kind of, like I said, work on developing a really rich life right now. Like a healthy life,
with,
surrounded by good people. And it's just going to happen for you. Because you don't have any problems, you know? It's not real problems. It's an exciting time in your life. So I think go to the show tonight. Have a good time. Talk to people. Make yourself. Like if you're like, I'm just going to sit here. It's like, I'm going to go say hi. And that's when you get those charges. Yeah. Like that's the connection. Like that's what life's about. Those real moments with people. Not swiping through apps.
Yeah.
That's a good supplement. But real life experiences are good for you.
True. How do you like I feel like I'm like want to like have intimacy with people, but I guess I just like have to wait. Because I have to, like, know if I can trust them.
Oh, because you want to have sex. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not saying you have to. Maybe you try it and you're like, oh, that didn't work for me. There are no rules here. You get to decide your own rules. Like, I know people, like, so everyone gets sets up their own rules. So, you know, if you decide you want sex, you can go out and find sex. You get to decide. Like, some people are like, I just had sex and I get to, because we get to decide. Like, you can decide if you don't want to call someone as well. So I think just meet that person, and then in the moment you can decide, what do I want? Not the other way around. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people who are like, I've been having casual sex for 2 years and it doesn't feel good. I'm like, okay, here's your practice. Go out with someone and don't sleep with them for a month, right? But you're not in that position right now. I don't know what you're like, Bethany. I don't know. So you might not know either. So you might find someone in the next few days you like and you want to go out with them again. And maybe this weekend you guys will make out. Who knows? So I don't think you should be so hard on yourself. I think you should just trust your gut and your feelings and check in with yourself. How does it feel? And like, yeah, I think it's probably better to take things slow and get to know someone. But, you know, if you don't, just need to sleep with someone, see how that makes you feel. You never know. A lot of things work for everybody. But what I'm saying for you is we don't know yet. So just keep checking in with yourself and just go out and meet some people. That's a great way to meet. I've met a lot of my guys, a lot of people I've dated are through other friends and shared experiences.
Definitely. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I guess my, like, I'm like, I, well, like, with the person that I was talking about earlier, like, it did feel, like, super right. And then I ended up being, like,
let me tell you why I wasn't right. I'm going to tell you this and then I have to let you go. Let me tell you why I wasn't right. Because you were new at dating. You said he was texting you every 2 weeks. So for a lot of people, that wouldn't feel right. I'd be like, where'd you go? Like 2 weeks? Like to me, it's like, you know, like you want to talk more often. So there probably were signs there. Like when you were with him, it was probably great. But then, you know, maybe you got busy in your life. But I would say there were probably signs that it wasn't perfect in the sense of like, you probably, there were signs that he was seeing other people or that was going to drop off. You know what I'm saying? So let that experience go from a year ago. We tend to hang on to our last experience that was the most intense. Mm-hmm. So let's let go. You're new Bethany in a new city. Go out tonight. I think you're weighing your head about this. And I just want you to go out and have fun, make new friends, figure out where you love to go. People love meeting new people. Like, it's so fun. You know, you're just bringing yourself to the table and you're going to start to like meet new people and have new experiences, and then everything else is going to follow. So don't trip on this last guy and what it meant. People are doing a whole bunch of different things right now when you meet them. You never know. So I don't think that means anything. Okay? You got this, Bethany. Just go out and figure out who you are. Okay?
I will. Thank you, Emily.
Yes, you're so welcome, Bethany. Let me know how it goes. You got this. Have fun tonight. Go out, okay? Leave your house now. Okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm going
Go shower. Get out the door. You'll be so happy. I promise you. Have a good night.
Thank you, Emily.
Okay, bye. But you're so welcome, sweetie. You got this. Have a good night. Bye. I wanted to get to the bottom of that because I knew that like we're holding on to things and we're so in our heads. But I'm telling you guys, just getting out there, letting people know you're single. It's not that like people don't like you or you're broken. I just think that's how you meet people, is being involved, having a rich life. Like, and what I mean by that is like doing things outside of work. We're all tired at the end of the day. It's so much easier to go home and watch TV than it is to go out and meet people. But I'm telling you, once you do it, and once you start to say, once a week, I'm going to have this experience, I promise you, that's how you build your social circle. That's how you're going to meet people you're into. And that's what people find attractive too, is people who have a lot going on in a real, genuine way, not in like a fake way. Like you got to build yourself up. But like people who love life are attracting people who also love life and are attracted to that energy. So be the person you want to find. Okay, we have Matt. He's 30 from New Zealand and his girlfriend is stressed and hasn't had sex in a while. Hey, Matt in New Zealand. I'm so glad you called.
Hey, Emily. Hey. Nice to hear you. And nice to be on the show.
I'm so glad you're here. So many listeners in New Zealand and Australia. It's awesome. I love that we get to talk and I can help you. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend, we've been together for a couple of years now. So I've always been pretty great, but I guess in the last sort of 8 months or so, she's gone through a bit of a change. You know, her father was a little bit sick for a bit, she got made redundant, we moved cities, so it's just a bit stressful for her. And she actually expressed to me that her, you know, the sex life is the thing that goes first, I guess, when she's super stressed.
Oh, okay, right, that makes sense, yeah. Okay. So that makes sense, too. It's true, though. When we're stressed and anxious about money and job, yes. and we lose our sex drive.
Exactly. And I do. I remember you saying that as well. And so I didn't really want to, pressure her into anything or,
But so this just happened in the last few months? She's not really been to sex, or how long?
I reckon probably, it'll be coming up probably 6 months or so. So it feels like a long time.
Yeah, no, that
it feels
is a long time.
You know, how you kind of almost forget about how to initiate it.
Right.
Or, figure out if they're interested or, things like that.
Right, right. Does she is she feeling better now, though, or is she still stressed out? Is she still in, does she seem depressed or is she anxious or?
She has said to me that she deals with a bit of anxiety, and I feel like it's getting better. But, I think she's definitely going in and out of a bit of anxiety. And
have you talked to her about this at all and said you really care about her and you want to make sure you guys can, be intimate again?
Yes. Yep. Not as much as we probably should, but we definitely have talked about it. We are quite open and we do talk about this sort of stuff every now and then, but, life kind of gets in the way and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So I was just wondering kind of other ways to...
Yeah, I think you got to talk. Oh, to tell it, see if she's interested or not. Well, how did you used to do in the past? Like when you guys first, I guess in the very early stages, we all just want to have sex all the time in the early stage of a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Like there's no question, right?
Yeah.
Like you walk in the door and your clothes are off in 2 minutes. I get that. But right now, do you know what used to, because I'll answer this question, but I also think that it's going to go back to talking. So, but are there things like, were there certain foreplay, does she like massage, have a foot massage at the end of the day or when you bring home dinner or does she like going out? Have you guys had dinner lately or have you gone to movies or, are there things that you guys have fun together doing? Because when you're at home and you're doing the same things, that can get, kind of routine.
True. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, she loves a good massage. I know she's mentioned in the past, she's quite used to being quite obviously all women love a bit of foreplay, but she likes the, heaps of touch and loves to introduce, feathers and I think she's used to being the kind of more dominant one in the bedroom.
She's more dominant.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, she's told me this. So I haven't actually experienced this, but I've heard her talk about it and she's sort of said to me that she doesn't know how I would react to it or I think she maybe wants more from me in terms of a reaction.
Matt,
and seeing a bit of
this
things
is
like
good.
That yeah
yeah no Matt this is all okay this is great information. So it sounds to me like this is what you need to do is that you got to just have a conversation. You got to say, babe, I love you. I really want to talk about our, it's so important that we continue to connect and have sex life, have great sex. And I miss having sex with you. What can we do together? I'd love to try whatever you want. I like telling couples to exchange a sexy bucket list or what you both are wanting to try. You could say, you said you were dominant in the past. That might be kind of sexy. Let's try it. I've got, you could use a necktie. You could use a feather laying around the house or you could go to a sex toy store together and go shopping or buy some things online. But this is what I tell you, Matt, this is so true that you said you talk about it sometimes. And what I want you to realize is that the more you talk about it, number one, the easier it gets. So the more it's even if it's every other day, you talk about what to eat for dinner, that's how your sex life can be because you're both sharing an experience together. So you both need to talk about it. Where are you going on your vacation? What are you doing for dinner? Let's talk about our sex life. And so because you've talked about it maybe 3 times in the last 6 months, not enough, right? When do you see her tonight or when you see her today? I miss having sex with you. I know you've been going through stuff. I've been going through stuff trying to figure out what you need. Let's just talk about it. You can say to her, what's your most memorable time that we've had sex? And she might say that time where you came in late and I, blindfolded you or you blindfolded me or who knows what it is. But then you're going to learn what turns her on or ask her what she masturbates, what she thinks about her. You guys could watch some porn together. I feel like you guys have to build an erotic life together. And that you're kind of guessing because you're, you care about her and you're being sensitive to what she's going through. But you guys, you don't have to solve this on your own. That's what I'm trying to drive home. You guys are in it together. And if you're guessing that there's things that she wants you to try, you guys have been together for 2 years. So it's time to stop kind of trying to figure it out and have a straightforward conversation. It's going to get so much easier and you're not going to believe that you didn't do this before because that's how you're going to figure this out.
Great.
Because you both want the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Yeah. And I know it's scary, but when you do it like outside the bedroom, like at dinner, when you're having breakfast, you just bring it up. You're like, let's talk about sex. What's going on? What can we do? From a very like, don't make it a serious conversation. Make it playful and fun because it's sex. Sex should be fun, and bring that, infuse that into the relationship. Yeah. If you start the conversation that way, it's going to help it, you know, be favorable to both of you, whatever you guys decide. Okay.
Awesome. Yes. Great advice.
And, okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. You got
Thanks
this then.
So much,
just start
Emily.
Talking. Okay. You're so welcome,
Appreciate
Matt.
That.
Bye, Matt. It's fun, you guys. I get it that talking about sex seems so painful, and we think we do it because we did it once every 3 months because we know how hard it is and we remember that last conversation. But I'm telling you, the more you do it, the easier it gets. You just kind of like rip it off a Band-Aid. Like literally like, babe, I know this is weird. We don't often talk about our sex life, but let's talk about it. And believe me, if you're both in a loving relationship, you're in it together, it's for both of your interests, and you want to be the partner who can contribute and talk about it so you guys can continue to have healthy sex. Communication is a lubrication. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.